Martin's already read to us the text for this evening, but we'll reread it again. And if you'd like to have that before you, it's Genesis 2, just those first verses 2 to 3. And the context is that it was through Jesus, but God had just finished, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the creation of the world in 6 days. So reading from verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Let me lead you briefly in our prayer of illumination. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we open your word this evening and seek to be taught from it, will you quieten our hearts, will you give us understanding, will you guide the minds of all those present with us, both in person and online, and may you guide the words of the speaker too, that they may honour you. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So the message that I'm bringing to you this evening is originally penned by the Reverend John Haviland, and it was a series of 19 sermons, and we're up to number 6 in that series. And it's entitled The First Sabbath. And I had a question for the children. Does any of the children know what the Sabbath means, the word Sabbath? If you don't, I'm hoping you will by the end of the service. It's the word rest. And that features very much in our message this evening. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Sunday as a day of rest is rapidly disappearing in our society. The Saturday and the Sunday are treated virtually the same in how they are used by the society. All the big shopping malls are open all weekend, as well as most of the smaller shopping centres. The movie centres, theatres are playing, large industrial plants continue on their operating, real estate agents are working, the supermarkets are open, and there's lots of sports games are being played. People are mowing their lawns, painting their homes, and working in their garden. This day was given to us as a day of rest, and it was given to us for our benefit and blessing, but it's not generally honoured nor respected. As with many of God's beautiful gifts, it has been neglected, abused, and distorted. That is true of unbelievers who are generally ignorant of God's requirements for this day. But many believers also disobey God's commands for this day and do not use it as he intended it. Today, we will consider this seventh day of the creation week. We will see that God set this day aside as a rest day, as a blessed day, and as a holy day. These 3 points will form the structure for our message this evening. So, first of all, God set this day aside as a rest day. Genesis 1 tells us that God worked for 6 days creating the world, forming it and shaping it into the beauty and splendour we see around us. In this series of sermons so far, we have noticed some of the marvels of God's creation. How he made the land and the seas, the massive distant galaxies, the huge sun, the solar systems, and then this earth that is so finely balanced to sustain life. God filled this earth with a great variety of plant life, and he created thousands of kinds of fish and birds and animals. The whole creation is a testimony to the almighty power and great imagination of God the Creator. And so, after the 6th day, we read in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Genesis, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Then God rested. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work." God did not rest because he was tired. It is not that he was exhausted or that he needed to rest. Neither does this mean that God had been doing nothing since then. His creative work had ended, but he has continued to sustain his world and provide for all his people and all the creatures of the earth. And this is something that Psalm 104 celebrates. And he's also active in the work of saving his people. After healing someone on the Sabbath, Jesus told the Jews, "My Father is always at work, at his work to this very day, and I too am working," as we read in John 5, verse 17. On the seventh day, God rested so that he could enjoy the work he had done. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Having completed his work, he wanted to celebrate what he had done and take it all in, and he wants us to do the same. We too are to work and rest. God has set that pattern for us. When God created Adam, he gave him work to do. He was to name all the animals, and he was to work in the Garden of Eden and take care of it. We too are to work. The fourth commandment, which Martin read for us, says, "Six days you shall labour and do all your work." And the Apostle Paul wrote in Thessalonians that if a man will not work, he shall not eat. That's a good incentive for working, isn't it? This is a problem in our society. The number of unemployed people is low compared to previous years, but we still have a hard core of unemployed and unemployable people, and there are more and more people on sickness benefits who could well be working. We are commanded to work. God wants us to be active and busy, and he wants us to use our time well and to work hard. But having worked 6 days, he allows us to rest. He wants us to rest, and so he commanded this. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Our rest is patterned on God's rest. We must rest because he rested and commanded us. This does take some organisation and planning. It means that you must make a deliberate decision to take 1 day a week off from your work. It means that if you have to work hard and efficiently so that you get everything done in 6 days and then rest. This pattern and command applies to all of us. We all need a day of rest. Ministers, doctors, public servants, nurses, teachers, electricians, drain layers, businessmen, growers. Everyone. This also applies to students at school or CIT or university. Your usual work is study, so you have to study hard for 6 days and then take the Sunday as a day of rest. Otherwise, you are disobeying God's command. This is a command of the Lord, and God wants us to obey him. It's not easy to maintain this day of rest in our present society, where everything goes on as usual. Shops, planes, hotels, motels. Some of you may be involved in shift work like doctors and nurses, and in industries that go on around the clock. But despite the difficulties, let's try to be consistent as possible in keeping this command. Let's make every effort to avoid our usual work, and let's try to avoid causing others to work on this day. As a simple example, you can buy your fuel on the Saturday rather than on a Sunday. But let's also be careful to avoid legalism. The Pharisees were masters of this. In addition to all the laws given through Moses, they added a whole raft of extra laws that they had made up that governed every activity of life. Their laws for the Sabbath were especially detailed and restrictive, and Jesus and his disciples were often criticized for breaking these man-made rules. So be as consistent as you can for yourself in keeping this day as a day of rest, and others, for yourself and others, but avoid making rules for others. Secondly, God established this as a blessed day. In verse 3, we read, "And God blessed the seventh day." A blessing is a spoken word that pronounces favour on someone or something. God designed this as a special day, as one that is very significant and important, and as a day that would be of help to us. A source of well-being and of benefit, a source of blessing. Jesus reinforced this one Sabbath day after the Pharisees had criticized his disciples for picking the heads of grain and eating them. Jesus told them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. God blessed this day as a day of favour and of benefit to us. It is a blessing for us because we need a day of rest for our own physical, mental and emotional health. We have noted that there are some people who don't work enough and are lazy, but there are others that work too much. They are workaholics, they're addicted to their jobs and don't know when to stop. This happened in Israel. The people neglected the Sabbath and did as they pleased on God's holy day. They carried on with their usual business and continued trading and buying and selling. And this is clearly outlined in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Some of the strongest condemnations of the prophets are directed at Israel's abuse of the Sabbath. This goes on today. Many people keep working 7 days a week. Some do this because they enjoy their work and find it fulfilling. Others do it because of the money and the overtime. Whatever their motive, they're making a god of their work. Their job is an idol. That's what they live for. It's number one. But constant work like this will lead to many physical problems in heart disease and ulcers and tiredness. It will lead to mental and emotional problems as people get too stressed and worried and anxious. It will lead to relationship problems in marriages and in families because husbands and wives and parents and children don't see enough of each other. For this reason, God gave us 1 day a week for rest. You can stop working, and you can do this with a clear conscience because you are obeying God. He gave us a compulsory day of rest so that we will not make an idol of our work, and so that we will keep our job in perspective, and even do our work better. Think of the way many unbelievers spend their weekend. Many young people, and also not so young, are out partying till the early hours of the morning. They're drinking, dancing, and living it up. Others spend their entire weekend busy around the house and garden, and others spend it in organised sport or watching it. The result is that they come to work on Monday morning dead beat. They had a hard weekend. They start the week tired, exhausted and worn out. This is the Mondayitis disease. It produces work that we call a Monday job, a task poorly done because someone was recovering from a bad hangover. As an aside, there was one person who was fairly rich who had a car being made for him, and he didn't want anyone building the car on a Monday. He only allowed them to work on his car on a Tuesday for one of those reasons. God wants us to rest 1 day in seven so that we can gather strength for another week of work. Yes, we may lose income on that day, but if we keep a day of rest, in the long run we'll be more productive and more useful in our workplace. But we don't keep this day merely because it will benefit us. Our motive is not just a pragmatic one, not just what we can get out of it. No, we do this because this is what God wants. This is what he commands. There is a joy in obedience. Let's read what God promised through Isaiah in chapter 38, verses 13 to 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honourable, if you honour it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, if you keep this day, then you shall take delight in the Lord, or as the NIV states, you will find joy in the Lord. We can also note that keeping this day of rest will result in a blessing for everyone. This pattern of 1 and 7 is called a creation ordinance, which means that it is built into the structure of creation. This is the way God planned it from the beginning, and he wants everyone to follow this pattern. At times, people have tried to change the pattern. After the French Revolution in 1792, they decided to change the calendar to a 10-day system, i.e. metricize it. But after a few years, this broke down because people could not work 9 days in a row and remain productive. So in 1805, Napoleon changed it back to a 7-day cycle. A similar thing happened in Russia in 1917, when the communists abolished the Sunday and wanted everyone to work 7 days a week. But they found it was impossible for people to keep on working all the time, and so the Sunday was reintroduced by Stalin. God has made everyone in his image, and we are all his creatures. He has made us, and he knows how we best function. So this is one important instruction from the manufacturer, inverted commas, respectfully, that there is much blessing in obeying him. There is a city in Scotland that receives its water supply from a high lake in the mountains. The lake is so high that the water in the pipes develops great pressure, so much so that the pipes in the city could not cope. So an engineer devised a system of breaks in the pipeline as it descended to the city. At regular intervals, they built a small reservoir which would break the pressure, and then the pipes would then take it down to the next level. In the same way, God has given us a day of rest to relieve the pressure in our lives. He has given us 1 day in seven so we can refresh ourselves and gather strength for the next week. So that brings us to our third point. The Sabbath is a rest day, as we've already seen. It's also a blessed day, as we've just talked about. And thirdly, it is a holy day. God made this day holy. The word describes something that is set apart, something different. It is a holy day, not a holiday. It is a day set apart so we can rest from our usual work and worship the Lord with his people. That is very important in our secular society world that ignores God and rushes on about its business, a world full of hurry and pressure. In this busy world, God says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." And that's what we sung just earlier in the service from Psalm 46. God wants us to come together as his people, as the church, to spend time with him, to worship, to confess our sins, to praise his name, and to hear his word. That biblical teaching is well summarized in Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism, as we read earlier in the service. This biblical teaching is also summarised in the Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 21, where we read in Article 8 the following. The Sabbath is to be kept holy unto the Lord when men, after due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercise of this worship, and in the duties of necessity and mercy. Note that last sentence I read to you. But they are also taken up the whole time in the private and public exercise of his worship, and in the duties of necessity and mercy. Not only is there a resting, but there is a doing. We need this time to reflect on our relationship with God, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work, to reorient ourselves, to refocus our faith. All this helps us as we go into another week. We can carry the worship of this day into Monday and Tuesday, because all of life is to be one of worship. Hearing God's word on Sunday opens our eyes to what God is doing in our lives during the week, so that we are more alert to the Lord and his activity. Those of us who wear glasses, regretfully, need to clean them regularly so we can see. In the same way, we need the Sunday to polish the glasses of our faith. This is why we have two services on the Sunday, so that we can keep our focus on the Lord throughout the whole day. In the Old Testament, believers, they had an offering that was brought to the Lord at the beginning of the day and also at the end of the day. This makes the Sunday a glad and joyful day. Psalm 118, verse 24, described the day of God's salvation and said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That was David's attitude to temple worship. In Psalm 122, he wrote, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go up to the house of the Lord.'" Would that we all came to worship with that same sense of joy and anticipation. That is especially true of us in this New Testament age, living as we do in the light of Christ's resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and in recognition of this world-transforming event, the early church met together on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, rather than the seventh day of the Sabbath. So too today. Every Sunday when we come together, we remember that Jesus has been raised, that he is alive in heaven, and he is coming again. The writer of Hebrews points us forward when he describes a future Sabbath rest for the people of God. Every time we rest from our usual work and come together to worship God, we are looking forward to the eternal rest in heaven that will come about when Jesus returns. So, in closing, let us resolve to work hard 6 days a week so that we can rest on the seventh day, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, our Christian Sabbath day. Let's use this day wisely and well in rest, in worship, in doing what is holy and right and good, so that we may be refreshed and strengthened in our faith, and so that we might prepare ourselves for that eternal Sabbath day. Amen. Let me lead you briefly in prayer. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder from your word about the Sabbath day, or for us, the Christian Sabbath being the Sunday. We thank you that in your wisdom that you set apart 1 day in seven, not because you needed to rest as a pattern for us, but for that we may have a pattern to follow what is good for us. We thank you that it is a day of rest, that we can cease from our normal labours. We thank you that it is a blessed day, and those who observe it will be blessed in so observing it. And we thank you also that it is a day that we're able to focus our attention upon you, not on our daily, our normal work, not on our sporting activities, not in our gardens, but to set it apart of the day to be reminded that all your people are called to your eternal rest. And we earnestly look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, and we will be able to rest from our normal labours permanently and bring praise and honour to you continually. Will you help us to look forward to that day? But in the interim, may we be those who have a delight in your day and want to come each Lord's Day to hear your word and to fellowship with your people and to bring the honour that is due your name. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who even makes this possible for us to do so. Amen.